God's not dead, he's merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising. Greed's not good and God's not dead. Don't care what Nietzsche or Ayn Rand said. The blood of every man is red, and I'm not going to war. They justify all the things they do with convoluted logic, and waves still pound upon the sand, and will when they're gone. God's not dead, he's merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising.
It is time for a weekly visit from our favorite social, political, and metaphysical commentator, Les Visible. He writes several blogs right around the globe that expresses reality as it is seen from beyond that smoky mirror of spin and deception, with a style and candor that cuts deep, separating, as it were, the bone from the marrow. And here at Feet to Fire, we experience the audio edition with the powerful poetic delivery of his written message, with a style that you will love or hate, depending upon your desire to be alive and awakened to the light of truth, or remain asleep in the darkness of delusion. Let us take a trip across the pond to somewhere in Europe, and this week's comments from Les Visible.
Greetings, dear friends, and welcome to the Saucer Pod. This evening, Visible is cruising about 20 miles above the planet Earth. I like to keep a high altitude, and I might add a high attitude as well. Mostly because there are all kinds of paranoid flying machines down below that don't like saucer pods or the people who fly around in them. Before I get into whatever I'm going to get into here tonight, let me apologize for no radio show last week. I didn't even realize until Monday that I hadn't done one. That is how completely it slipped my mind, and might well be the only time it's ever happened to that extent. The meaning I take away from this is that I wasn't supposed to do a show. Of course, others may take a different meaning away from this information, but whatever. I'd also like to give a shout-out at the moment to James Jancic, who most kindly prepares these shows for your listening, even though he often does not do a radio show these days. And you've got my gratitude, James, and no doubt the gratitude of those who actually enjoy coming here. So, thank you, James. Well, now, here we are, something more than a quarter of the year into the year of great uncertainty, as I like to call it. I know for myself personally, this year will change my life in dramatic fashion, more so than any year has done in a long time. In a few months, I'm slated to be resident in the far country where I've never been. Or, should some kind windfall come upon me, I will first go to Maui to record a few new CDs, new albums, before heading to my final destination. Maybe I shouldn't call it a final destination. That sounds kind of final. And it's a sure thing that it's not my final destination, because there waits in the beyond yet another destination, and it is hidden from view at the moment. I suspect it is hidden from view because this manifest world is very much in view. The world is too much with us, as Wordsworth once said, and that is the result of the force of materialism, which is exerting so much power upon us at this time. I know I've been talking about materialism a lot lately. That's because it's at its zenith in these times and something to be aware of. You can't disconnect from something unless you are aware of it to begin with. Those who are completely under its spell are unaware of it. This is an unfortunate position for them because awareness is most likely to come about through trauma or tragedy. As an uncle of mine used to say, those who cannot hear must feel. He was only threatening and never carried out on the threat, but I heard him and it modified whatever behavior I was engaged in that got his attention. 90% of life is half mental, as Yogi Berra once said. Paying attention is the first thing anyone should engage in when considering stepping out of whatever mess they are in. When the idea occurred to them that they would rather be somewhere else. That's one of the things that should be happening with awakening. You begin to get an idea of where you are like you've never had before. We're presently in a time of great awakening for those who are inclined to be greatly awakened. If you are not so inclined, awakening will come to you in ways you would rather it did not, to the extent and degree that it has to get your attention. Many of us are struggling with the changes that are being thrust upon us. We see others blithely going about their unconscious business and wonder at what seems to be the unfairness of life. It is not unfair, and we are not seeing the further reach of events and consequences. As it so aptly says in the Bible, those whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. One should be much more concerned if they are not tried and tested. This can indicate that one is not to be reached and has been given up on for the purposes of that lifetime. You definitely do not want to be in that position. I know that to many, the present state of the world looks like it is merely going through states of disorder before it rights itself again. That is not what the apocalypse is about, and we are in an apocalypse. An apocalypse is about judgment and summing up. We are in the summing up of an age. Make no mistake about it. This brings me to something I wrote about yesterday at Smoking Mirrors. It has to do, or had to do, with predictions being made via Cliff High's software and his following analysis of the data. He went on at great length in his last two Wujos, whatever it is, about a massive event that may or may not loom on the horizon for later in this month. May 20th is the date he gave, and he mentioned there is some latitude with that on either end. This means we might be only a week away from whatever it is that the web bots have been indicating. It has something to do with the Pacific Ocean and those coastal areas that border upon it, something on the order of massive earthquakes and massive tidal waves. Let me say that I have no eagerness or expectation for such a thing to happen. I know there are many good folk trapped in circumstances that they are not presently in a position to leave, or they believe that to be the case. For myself, I believe that those who may be in the path of some powerful natural event will be inspired to go somewhere else for some amount of time, and that the means and way to do this will materialize, or they will just be safe somehow. Then again, maybe the time has come for one to be transitioned into another realm. We never know when that moment is at hand, except when we do. But we still don't, because even though we know we may be dying, we don't know when the moment will come. We should live with that understanding through all of our days. This life is temporary, and it's set up that way for a reason. For some rare souls, they finally come into a lifetime where immortality beckons. The road to that moment starts wherever you may be standing at the moment you take your first conscious step in that direction. One of the problems so many of us encounter is that we do not know how to tune into the leading that the force which is guiding us in the direction wants us to go, if that makes any sense. I don't think I phrased that exactly right. Anyway, we resist without knowing we are resisting. We struggle against our own best interests without realizing we're doing it. We think we know where we're supposed to go, but we do not. Self-will and self-interest will only lead you in circles. The main concern of any and every seeking soul is to make a connection with the cosmic mind. That is and should be job one. Without a conscious connection to your guidance system, you don't know where you're going, and you wind up in trial and error land. All the strife and struggle that we go through is related to our illusions concerning ourselves and the world. The experiences we are put through strip us of our illusions. There are no accidents in nature or in ourselves. We simply do not see the underlying motive to what is happening to us. If our eyes were truly open, every moment would be filled with miracles and magic, because we would be seeing the divine hand in everything taking place. We do not see this because our sight is compromised by our desires. Once we can let go of these things, everything that is meant for us and ordained for us will appear in its time, and all of it will be to our benefit in terms of our spiritual journey. Many of us know the names of those which history has seen fit to remember and recognize. Some have been remembered for the good they did, and some are remembered for the bad. In all cases, most of us know only a few details about the lives of these people. Let us consider those who left good footprints. We only know certain things about them, but there is often much more to these lives than what little we got hearing about them in school or wherever it was that we heard about them. I used to read a lot of biographies. There were collections of books when I was in school and such, and in the libraries as well, that illustrated the lives of great men and women. I was amazed to encounter the tales of their struggles, their failures and disappointments. We have to remember there is always a lot more to someone than we might think. It can be a most enlightening and instructive experience to read more deeply into the lives of those we actually know very little about. Henry Ford, who was a highly intelligent man, said, "History is bunk." That's true. It is mostly a fabrication by the ruling elite who think they're ruling, who want the population to believe certain things because it helps with the control factor. We have to remember that one way or another, we are under the control of something. We have a choice about what that is. Like Bob Dylan said, you got to serve somebody. It might be the devil, and it might be the Lord, but you got to serve somebody. Whom you serve is dependent on what you want. It also has to do with personal will and cosmic will. The divine resides within us. If we make the effort to surrender to the higher mind within our mind, or what we perceive to be our mind, we will be powered and guided by it. If we learn to access the secret reaches of the heart, we will be fed on heavenly manna, though we wander in thirsty deserts. We are capable of the same protections that Daniel had in the lion's den and that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had in the fires they were tossed into. I have long maintained that the fires the sinners burn in is the same fire the saints rejoice in. They simply have a different relationship to it. You need to get that relationship. It is the single most important relationship you can ever possibly have. I cannot in mere words stress how important this relationship is. It is a matter greater than life and death. It is as important as drawing oxygen into your lungs, or it should be. The world visits a miasma of dream stuffs upon our minds, and we become bewildered and transfixed by bright, shiny nonsense. We lose all sense of our priorities. What is dearest to the heart stays at a distance, and all that is temporary and tawdry sits before us like some kind of profane altar of pending loss and disappointment. When we get into actualizing our relationship with the divine, we might get put through nearly anything. I speak from experience. In the recent years through which I have, well, recently passed, I was exposed to all manner of situations and events that I did not anticipate whatsoever. In the aftermath, I could not make head or tails of the why and wherefore. I experienced inexplicable treachery at the hands of blinded and damaged souls, and also found myself acting out in ways I would not have thought would occur, but did. What did it mean? What was the point? Whatever it was meant to happen, and today my mind is as clear as it has ever been, and nothing of what has gone down in the time period referenced has any lingering effect on my thoughts and feelings. It was all just part of a dream that went where it went and left when it went. Oh, left when it left. I guess. Of course it left when it went. Yeah. There are things in my life much further back that I still regret, but they give me only a momentary twinge on the occasions when they come to mind. As I reflect upon them, I realize they were all meant for my edification and instruction. You can't learn from experience unless you make mistakes. The twinges I feel in the grip of memory are really nothing more than attachment. I only need to relax my grip on that which I don't even understand in the first place. Sure, I have a partial recollection of something. The person who experienced those things doesn't even exist anymore. All the various personalities that I or any of you are transported through on our way to the emergence of the divine within us were nothing more than temporary stations we occupied and which came and went for the purpose of demonstration. This frog is trying to climb up in my throat here. Not a day goes by when I do not recall at the end of the day that I might have tried harder, been more aware, been more diligent in my continuing remembrance of the indwelling deity. I lay in my bed at night, and after my prayers, I think about my day. I think about my life. I seek to find meaning in it, but it often escapes me. I wonder what I do each day and why I can't finish certain critical things. Then I fall asleep, and before I know it, another day is at hand, another day where I might do some amount better than the day before. Hopefully. A holy man, after I said to him once that I wanted to surrender, said to me, "No, not you. You fight and fight and fight, and then you surrender," whatever that means. When I was in jail, the most recent time I was in jail, it was quite a while ago now, and facing a potential life sentence, a friend of mine went to this holy man and told him about my situation. It looked pretty dire at the time. The holy man said, "Ah, he'll be fine. He's just chosen another path." And so it was fine in terms of the end result. We've been doing these radio shows for a while, you and I. It's a matter of years now. Most of the time I get something together, but occasionally I do not, or I am abroad and there are difficulties in terms of software or some critical element that you can't do a radio show without, but most of the time we have a broadcast. I truly hope that some part of any or all of it has been useful to any or all of you. I don't know why I do these broadcasts. I don't know why I still write at the blogs. It just happens. Even though both of these things take away a significant portion of my time each day, they just happen, and I expect they will continue to happen until they don't happen anymore. Life can be really perplexing if you let it be. That usually comes from trying to figure everything out, as if somehow you would get a certain key to the whole process that would allow you to cruise through the whole affair. Such a key does exist, and there are more than one, but getting your hands on any of them is no easy matter. The rewards of this world are achieved in various ways. In the rarest examples, they are gained through honest sweat and an industrious nature, along with an indifference to any failures one might encounter on the way. More often these days, they are achieved through a litany of crimes and deceptions, not to mention other people's lives and well-being, sacrificed on the altar of ruthless ambition. Success in the invisible is another thing. It involves its own criteria, and each criteria is specific to the person it applies to. There are different states of consciousness and being, as they apply to the people engaged in them. Some of them interpenetrate, some of them are tandem-like, and some are at a remove from each other, but still have communication, or not, depending. There are many heavens, many holding tanks, many hells, some of them completely individual. The unseen worlds are certainly vaster than the geography of this little sphere. Earth is an important place for some reason. Apparently, it's the only place where certain kinds of changes, very necessary changes, can go down. I don't doubt that there are inhabited worlds scattered through the universe, other inhabited worlds. Some are, no doubt, alien beyond description, and some are possibly similar to our own, and also possibly much more advanced. For some reason, even though we have heard about flying saucers and UFOs for a long time and seen evidence of their visitations upon cave walls and the remnants of ancient cultures, we're not seeing them appear in our environments in any communicative or connective way. I have personally seen flying saucers, but have, well, no contact went on, except for a brief moment in the desert outside Palm Springs when I was then hustled away by a friend. For some reason, contact at this moment is discouraged. Hopefully that changes. I'd sure like to make contact. I'd love to network with them about a solution to the hideous vermin who plague us all at the moment, as well as our collective ignorance. I know there are answers out there, just as there are answers in here. And I'm looking, I'm waiting, and wishing, and hoping, in eagerness and expectation for powerful, irrevocable change. I'm tired of being stationary on the rocky fields of my own shortcomings, or worse, routinely tumbling down as a result of tripping over the obstacles in my way. I guess that's the way some of us finally arrive at where we're going, beaten and bruised, but somehow still focused. For some amount of us, it's a much easier course from what I've observed, but then again, I'm not convinced they got there either. You have to take their word for it. Stuart Wilde passed away a few days ago. I didn't know him, and I know very little about him. I did a search on him, and it seems like a lot of people don't like him, in some cases saying some of the same things that some people say about me. In any case, I'm going to wish him well on his onward journey and hope he is where he wanted to be. All right, then. We've come to the end of another broadcast, and I will see you next week if there is one. In the meantime, may you receive both grace and inspiration on your way homeward to the sublime regions that wait ahead. That said, greetings, Lord Ganesha. Hare Krishna. Hail, Lord Jesus Christ. Bismillah, Ira Rahim. I never get that one right. Oh, Mamitaba. And carry on, Baha'u'llah. Aloha and Aru.
God's not dead, he's merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising. God's not dead, merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising.
Feet to Fire is a production of IPS Media Works on the ONSIC Radio Network of Stations.